take a second aside real quick to, as Ron pointed out, I'm doing the slides on the computer also. I guess it gives me a minute to brag about my son, because he usually takes care of me. I usually allow him to point the sliders along, because we don't have this hooked up to the computer back there. For those who are on Facebook or YouTube with us, recording the lesson and having PowerPoint slides with that, so they can see where I'm going. And Josiah usually does that for me. It helps me out, and that's why those who are at home missed the announcements this morning, because I didn't start it. So it's just forget about it when you don't do it. You got someone else doing it for you. So anyways, it's good to see everybody. If you want to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, I've referred to a person here on Wednesday night. And this morning, I'm going to go ahead and present a little bit longer lesson as just referred to it, pointed it out. Bring out a lesson about it this morning. Going forth and talking about our suffering is not to compare with the glory in which he'll reveal to us. And that's Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18, it says, "For consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And again, it's just a thought of all that we've been going through. And again, we talked a decent amount this morning in class that should help us with that. As we got on talking about Peter and his suffering, as he was about to drown, as his mind was focused up on the storm that was coming upon him, and he's starting to sink, which means he's about to drown. And to think about all that we go through today and the temptations, the trials, and everything that we face does not compare with what God has blessed us with, what he continues to bless us with, and what he has promised to us in the future. So I just got a couple points to bring out this morning as we look at that. The first one is to bring out, of course, is talk about the suffering. Because we get caught up in trying to figure out that, understanding, well, what is he referring to? What exactly can we say is not even to compare with the glory in which God has and what he will give to us? And so as we look at that, we look at that point of the glory in which God will bless us with compared to the suffering that we'll face as we live our lives upon this earth, the suffering that we see throughout the Word of God that they had went through, especially as Paul's writing this, and Paul makes this point. The point that he says what he goes through is not compared with the glory that will be revealed. And so look at some of the things we can bring out with the suffering. Matthew chapter 7, if you will. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14. Matthew 7 and verse 14 brings out here, says, "Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it." And so as it brings out the two different paths, as you bring 13 and verse 13 in this, and it brings out that there's an easy path that you can get on, and it's broad, and you can just go about it and breeze through. But when you choose to become a Christian, when you choose to obey the gospel, you choose to become a child of God, then you're choosing a difficult path. And one of the reasons that it is difficult is because of the suffering that we will go through, because of the persecution, because of the trials, because of the temptations that we face is going to cause it to be difficult. And we need to understand that right off the bat, it tells us this. As we open up the Bible, it does not hide the fact that if you are a child of God, that it is going to be hard. That you are going to have to be willing to work. That you are going to have to be long-suffering. That you are going to have to be willing to persevere, to endure the afflictions that come up on you. If you will, look with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, if you will. Luke 12 and in verse 52. Luke 12 and in verse 52. And it brings out here, it says, "For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against the son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Here it brings out Jesus is stating. Jesus is pointing it out. It says from this point on, because of Christ, not just because of regular problems that the family run into, just maybe not getting along, and, you know, taking the baby child away. This is because of your faith in Christ. Because of who you choose to obey. Who you choose to follow. Because of that, the house will be divided. There will be times in which you are not going to get along with your parents, or your parents are not going to get along with you, or your in-laws will not get along because they have a different faith. Because they don't want to hear that they need to repent and turn and change. Jesus is telling us, our Lord is telling us, that if you choose to follow Him, you are setting yourself up for conflict with family. From time to time, it's going to happen. And you have to be ready to make that decision of who's more important, family or God. What's more important, being happy here on earth for a short while or eternal home in heaven? Because it will happen that the family will end up being divided. You turn along with me to John chapter 15 and verse 18. John chapter 15 and in verse 18, if you will. John 15 and in verse 18, as Jesus goes forth and brings out here, again, Jesus pointed this out for us. Says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Again, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is our Creator. This is our sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And He says, the world hated Him. The world hated Him. The world crucified Him. They took Him and scourged Him and mocked Him and spat upon Him and hung Him between two thieves like He was a common criminal. Jesus was hated. And so therefore He brings out in this verse and in the following verses to point out that we are not greater than He is. That we're not going to be able to present the Word of God better than He could. We're not going to be able to show His love better than He could. We're not going to be able to show mercy and kindness and go forth and heal the sick and feed thousands of people at once with just a couple loaves of bread and some fish. We can't do what He did. We don't have as strong love and kind and merciful heart as He does. So therefore, it's not going to be different for us when we go forth and try to teach what He's taught. To go forth and show others what He has commanded us to do. That if the world hated Him, the world is going to hate us. Again, a point that we can look at as we consider the cost of being a Christian. The cost of being faithful to God. That it's not an easy path. That it is not what everybody usually thinks about. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 3, if you will. Acts chapter 4. Looking at a few verses throughout this chapter. Acts 4 and verse 3 says here, it says, and they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So Peter and John going forth and preaching the word. They didn't like what they were preaching, so they grab them. They take them. And in verse 18 it says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. And again, verse 21, so when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. Here they go forth and they heal somebody. They go forth and preach good things, to be kind and loving and merciful. And here they bring them in and say, by what authority do you teach these things? By what authority did you heal this person? Why do you do these good things? Good things. And they say, stop.
Stop teaching these things. And the only reason they let him go is fear of the people. And of course, they imprison him again. They beat him.
And yet, as we continue down this line, as we consider our family and friends, we consider the world, we consider our neighbors, we consider the government, and everything that we might go through because you are a faithful follower of the Lord, Paul is telling us it's worth it. It does not compare. It's not even in comparison. As you sit there and start to count the ways that you have suffered because you chose to become a child of God, because of the way someone made fun of you, because of the relationship you lost with family, Paul says it does not compare. Does not compare.
2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here's what Paul has gone through, right?
2 Corinthians 11, and look at with me in verse 22. Starting in verse 22, it says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measures in prisons, more frequently in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and day I have been in the deep, and journeys often in perils of water, and in perils of robbers, and in perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the Gentiles, and perils of the city, and the perils of the wilderness, and the perils of the sea, perils among the brethren, in wilderness, and toil, and sleeplessness, often in hunger, and thirst, and fasting often, and cold, and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Paul, as we go back to what we read in Romans 8, again, looking at everything that Paul has gone through, that he continues to push through, saying, 5 times I have stood there and been whipped. I have been stoned. I have been whipped with rods. And yet he is able to say the suffering that he has gone through does not compare to what God has promised you. Does not compare to how great our God is. Don't we sit here and try to figure out if the things that we have suffered through. Again, it's not to say that you haven't suffered. It's not to say that you haven't went through some hardship and that things haven't been hard. But if we remain faithful and we overcome the temptations and trials that we face upon this earth, and we endure and persevere through this suffering, it won't compare to what God is going to give us, to the glory that God has promised, to the glory that we may receive. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, just into this one point right here, that our sins are forgiven. Acts 2 and verse 38, again, as Peter preaches, and as they are gathered here, and they're listening to Peter preach, and he brings some points out, and you listen, and go up a couple verses with me. Go up to Verse 36, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He brings out this point. You crucified the Lord. And now, in verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." So it really hit them. They finally put into concept what they had done. If maybe some of these people were probably in that crowd as the priests and the scribes and the elders encouraged them to start yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him," right?
And when they said, "Who do you want received back unto you?" they didn't choose Jesus. They were in that crowd choosing a thief and a murderer. Their cuts of their heart are saying, "We killed the Son of God."
And so they ask, "What must they do?" And Peter's able to answer them. Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here, just in this one point, that you receive forgiveness. They receive forgiveness for killing Jesus. Not just because He died for your sins, but because they were actually the ones that were there shouting, "Crucify." They were ones who saw His miracles, saw Him feed them, saw Him heal people, and they did not stand up for Him. To know that God is still willing to forgive you, and that when you obey the gospel, even though that you may have to suffer, how much this is just right here, to have our sins forgiven. To not have that on our shoulders any longer. Knowing that all sin has been washed away because you have been baptized in faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In faith that He will keep His promise and He'll forgive you and remember no more. What a wonderful thought. How much, how great that is. Turn along with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Going back there, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, and look at it with me in verse 15, going up a few verses before what we read in verse 18. Verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Again, that the world hated Christ, it'll hate us also. We will go through suffering, and as it brings out in verse 17, it brings out in verse 18, if we suffer with Christ, then we are joint heirs. He is our brother. We are joint heirs. That means the inheritance that God has promised to His children. That is ours. Ours to receive. That we receive the spirit of adoption. So that we will no longer fear. As we go to 1 John, and we read about how love casts out fear. This is it in Him, right here. Telling us that we receive God as our Father to look over us, to guide us, to instruct us. And He prepares a home for us up in heaven. Compare that to the suffering that you go through here on earth. To be able to call our Creator our Father. To gain a family that runs throughout the entire world. Brothers and sisters in Christ that have obeyed the gospel. Again, how wonderful it is taking time to travel away and you visit other congregations. I love visiting other congregations. Just love it. Getting to know brethren, making connections where they've been, they visited the same congregations I have, or you know, they know my family or something. It's so wonderful, so lifting. Love gospel meetings as we have one coming up. And as brethren from other congregations are able to come and visit us, as we have the opportunity to go and visit them, we've gained a family in which we are able to look to the older men as fathers, older women as mothers, the younger women as sisters, and the younger men as brothers. Knowing that they are truly there for me, there for you, to help us to overcome these temptations. Things we gain as we obey the gospel. In John chapter 14 and verses 2 and 3 here. John 14 and in verse 2 it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare
prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is room in the kingdom. A home in heaven that Jesus has went to prepare. Again, what a wonderful thought. And knowing that there is a place in heaven that waits for me, how does that not help us as we go through any of the trials and temptations, any of the suffering that we face upon this earth? That as we go through the suffering, we're able to focus our minds on, if I can overcome, if I can remain faithful, if I can be forgiving, then I know it will be worth it. Because if I give in to temptation, if I get angry and sin, if I'm unforgiving, unmerciful, then I'm going to miss out. I won't inherit such things. Understanding how wonderful these things are that God has promised to us. As we can go to Revelation 21 and just get a mindset of how wonderful heaven must be, how wonderful the things are going to be there. We can read in verse 4 as it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. You don't have to worry about that. Never grow old. As you can read through verses 18 through 21, when you go through, and is it the construction of its wall was of jasper, the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Gold, like clear glass. Foundations. Foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. And that's where I stopped because I can't pronunciate all the stones. You go home and you Google out those stones and you try to picture all the structure of walls and gates and everything. And he says, you know, that gold is as clear as glass. Try to imagine how beautiful a city made out of all of that must look like. Again, can't say that that's exactly how it's really going to be, but it just gives you a mindset of what it might be. How beautiful these things are. In verse 22, it says, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And all nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall never be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there." Again, just how wonderful, how glorious thought these things are. You continue verse 26, "And they shall bring their glory and honor and the nations into it, but there shall be no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." You know what that's saying there? It says there's no temptation there. You know, the suffering, the temptation, the conflicts that we go through here on this earth because of our fleshly desires. Again, we're going to be changed. We're no longer going to be fleshly. We're going to be changed to a body that can last, not made of dust. And it says, "Those who are not found in the book of life are not going to be there. Therefore, there's going to be nothing that can cause an abomination or cause lies. No false teaching." What a wonderful thought. And you go to chapter 22 and read about the tree of life and the river of life. How wonderful heaven must be. How wonderful. And we compare all these things to the suffering that we may go through as we live our lives as maybe for another day, maybe for quite a few years down the road, that you go through upon this earth, it's not going to compare to the glory that God has blessed us with, that He's promised to us. We want to pick up this evening and continue somewhat on the same point. Another thing that we gain from our Lord, as you go back to Romans chapter 8, another point that's brought out in those verses, brings out, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is bringing out the point of we gain God on our side. Therefore, what can we be scared about when He's on our side? But I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If any is here and needs a prayer as a congregation, let us know. Let us be there for you. Again, we should be a family that can lean on one another. If you're here and you have yet to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that this morning also. To come forward, to confess your faith, to repent of your sins, be baptized, and to wash away your sins. If there's anything we can do for you, will you please let it be known as we stand and sing.